Good morning, church family. I want to tell you a story that happened to me many years ago. It was the year 2005. We, at the time, were relocating in Charlotte as part of my job as an associate pastor in a district in Charlotte. And near our house, we have this small mall with several stores, and among them was Circuit City. You remember Circuit City? It used to be like sell electronics and Best Buy and all these things. So that year, my teenager daughter was interested in getting for Christmas a Sony camera. You know, the small cameras were coming out. It was a CyberShot Sony camera. And I remember that Best Buy was having a great deal in these cameras, and it was near Black Friday. So I was thinking, spending Thursday, Thanksgiving with my family, and never enjoyed one of these beautiful days in the stores with other people. So I thought, what a good idea. Just go there to Best Buy tomorrow and find my daughter a nice camera that she just won for Christmas, and in the same way, you know, saving some money, you know. Not that I was trying to be cheap, but I like savings. So the next day, you know, when meanwhile everybody was sleeping, I wake up like around 4 o'clock in the morning, and I decide to go to Best Buy. What is my surprise? That it was a lot of people in there. So even asleep the night before in there. You know, I was thinking, probably the store is not, it's not a lot of people. The place was packed. And the struggles begin. You know, at the entrance of the store, it was this big line. I just get in line like everybody else. I'm waiting. Finally, when I get to the door, they ask me, what you want? So I explain, oh, I want the Sony CyberShot camera. Oh, they are finished, because they were giving you like a small paper ticket. When that paper ticket, you go inside and purchase the article that you want. But they didn't have any more paper tickets for the Sony camera. So, well, I was there. So I decide, I just want to buy a digital camera. So they give me another paper. So finally, I remember entering the store and getting online inside the store too, because every section have people interested in buying different things. Waiting there in line, close to 5:30 in the morning. Finally, arriving to the counter to talk to the person and get a valuable and beautiful camera for my daughter. And they say, no, all are gone. We don't have any more cameras. The only brand that we have right now is the store brand. And I don't remember what is the name of the store brand for Best Buy, but it's not like well-known. It's like one of these dark, you know, things that you buy when you are desperate. So I say, okay, just give me that, because I was getting to the point. I wake up really early. I don't want to go back home empty-handed. So say, oh, but we don't have it here. You need to go now to the customer service section, and they will give you some information, and they will send it to your house. So I go there to speak with the nice people of customer service. And surprisingly, when you are working, I didn't know that, when you are working the whole night there, people get in a bad mood, you know, tend to get a little angry and irritated. So I remember talking to this lady there at the counter, and she was quite rude and angry. What do you want? Right? So I explained, I need this camera. And she said, well, we don't have it anymore. Can you please order the camera for me? No, we can't. It's just too many people that you are holding the line. So at that moment, you know, my holiness started escaping, and my blood started kind of like boiling a little bit, you know, waking 4 o'clock in the morning, being here with all these people. To make the story short, I didn't get anything that day, you know, other than getting really frustrated and angry and going back home and telling Denise about my beautiful experience in Black Friday. Today, you can find a lot of things that can rob your peace, right? You know, you go to a store, especially if you are going during these days to buy things for your kids or, you know, for the family. Don't wait until Christmas Day or Christmas Eve to buy your things. That's the worst day to go to the stores. You will get frustrated. You will get aggravated. Eventually, you will get angry. And the reason that I'm speaking about this is because for me, one of the first memories that I remember about this time of the year, Christmas and the Nativity, is how, for some reason, always connected with peace. You know, you find in Luke, the Bible tells us that peace to the world, right? When Jesus was born. But it seems today that we are in this hectic, very busy kind of like activities. We are doing so many things that we don't have time for peace. So I want you to open your Bibles with me. And I want to study a small story here found in the book of Philippians. I think it's Philippians chapter 4. If you open your Bibles, and please, let's start reading in verse number 2. Philippians 4, verse 2, and we will read between 2 and verse 6. This is what the Bible says. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be on the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life, and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And stop for a moment there. When I was reading the story in Philippians 4, you find these two very interesting people that we don't have a lot of information about them other than their names. Why Paul mentioned these people here? That's the first question that you need to answer. Why they are mentioned here in Philippians 4? He's speaking about the peace and the spirit, and now, out of the blue, he's mentioned these two ladies. Well, the explanation that the scholars give us today is this. It seems like these two nice sisters, they were members of the church here in Philippos, and they were very involved in church activities. And something happened between these two ladies that they start having a fight, a problem. We don't know what was the reason of the problem. We don't know the details of the problem. But we know that the problem was growing so big that the apostle now had to intervene to bring some peace to this small church. Keep in mind, the churches at the time were held in private houses. So if one of these ladies was the owner of the house, then maybe she felt, this is my house, these are my what? My rules. And everybody have to do what I tell them to do, because this is what? My house. It is possible that one of the ladies was the owner of the house. And again, we don't know all the details why they were fighting, but they were fighting among these two sisters. Interesting enough, right? You will think, well, these things don't happen anymore here in our churches today, right? Members don't fight with each other. People love each other, especially right now, you know, near Nativity and Christmas and all this wonderful time. But the truth is that we are still fighting with each other. We still having disagreement with other members in occasions. And that can take away your peace. If something can take away your peace, it's the lack of forgiving somebody or the lack of being forgiven for something that we did, right? If we make a mistake and the person refuses to forgive you, or you refuse to forgive somebody, that can rob your peace. During the few days ago, I was visiting one of my friends here in Hilton Head, and he started telling me this interesting story about somebody at the church saying something really bad to him. And he continued telling me that he didn't say anything to this person because he was fearful that if he opened his mouth, he would say something really hurtful. So he rather stay quiet. So he go back home, and he was trying to sleep during the night. And he told me, Ben, it was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I didn't sleep the whole night, thinking and rethinking what I should tell this sister. Why she was saying this horrible things to me, and I watched, he was accusing me, and in his mind, he was arguing the whole night with this person. But he never spoke with the person in reality. So when we have a problem at church, this situation can take away your peace, right? Maybe it can take away your desire to come back to church. Because we are connected with each other, right? It can happen that maybe you have a problem at home. True story, and Denise is here. She will tell you the details. But when we just get married at the beginning of our experience as a spouse and wife, in occasions we had discussions in Sabbath, in Saturdays like today. I'm pretty sure that never happened to you, right? Never fight with your spouse in Sabbath. But I remember fighting with my wife in Sabbath, and then later deciding we need to go to church. And the problem is our church at the time was held in the afternoon instead of in the morning. So we had church services between 2 p.m. through 6 p.m. So we had the fight in the morning. We didn't fix the problem. And then when it was near 2 o'clock, what to do? Right? And then he's telling me, I don't want to sit with you. I don't want to pretend, right, in front of all these people. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because she was quite angry with me for probably non-reason, you know, something that I never did. I'm a very good person. And it was quite difficult getting the kids prepared and going to church and sitting in there and singing, peace, peace, like, and inside you want to kill somebody. Little things like this can take away your peace. And it can happen to you. And it actually happened to me. You know, so the first lesson that we get from the story here in Philippians is we need to have peace with each other, with other people. And it's not always easy. Paul advises that as possible, we should always have peace with other people. Right? But it's difficult. Because many things happen in many moments and many situations. This week also, here in Aiken, going to Home Depot to purchase some Christmas decorations. And between Home Depot is the other store, Kroger. And so I was trying to be kind with somebody and let him pass, you know. So I was assuming that the person who was behind this person would let me pass after being, you know, an act of kindness. But this person didn't care that I was waiting there, so she got ahead of me. And that made me really, really angry. I said, oh, this lady. Luckily, it wasn't no one of you, because I know all of you. And I was telling Denise that I was aggravated and, you know, all anxious because I had almost crashed my car that day when this person that didn't stop at the stores. Little things that like this can take away your peace. So the advice for you is, as long as you can, try to have peace with other people. It's not always easy, but we can try it, right? If you had a disagreement with someone at church, remember that the first step is always what? Pray, right? Before you open your mouth. Think about it and go and talk to this person, trying to make peace. So we don't know in the Bible why these two sisters were fighting, but Paul is advising not only the sisters to stop fighting, but the members of the church to help them to avoid fights, right? Here in verse 3 is saying, and I urge you to, through companions, help this woman who labored with me. So somehow he was asking help from the members of the church, please help them to get in peace and have harmony. Because this difference, these fights among the members can destroy a church. The second advice that we find about peace here is more in reference to the personal inner peace that we should have. And let's read in verse 5 again through 6. Let your gentleness know to all men that the Lord is at hand. You know, we should be gentle with other people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When is the last time that you get stressed out for something? When that happened to you? It happened this week? It can happen in any moment. For even little things, you are dealing with a customer in your work. Or maybe when your boss is aggravating you. Or somebody did something wrong at home. Or something didn't work the way that you were expected. And then you start getting anxious, you start getting stressed out. Maybe you get a bill that you weren't expecting, and now it's this time and you need this money to pay this bill. I don't know the reason. Many things can happen, right? Maybe you feel that you are not getting enough help at home with the kids, or your spouse is not helping you, you know, the way that he's supposed to do, and that irritates you. What to do, right? Well, before you decide to take action in your own hands, keep in mind this, that we should be anxious for nothing. And that memory verse is one of my favorite memory verses in the Bible. You know, it has helped me in many occasions. Being in situations that my normal reaction is to get angry, and then somehow out of the blue, I remember this. I'm getting late for a meeting, and then be anxious for what? For nothing. Now that you are getting late, you are late. It's nothing. You should prevent it, you know, doing better planning, but it didn't work the way that you expected. So whatever the situation is that is happening in your mind, keep in mind that, you know, we can ask God for help. People outside the church, they think that you can produce peace in your mind, right? If you start chanting like a mantra, like or blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of mumbo jumbo in these Oriental religions and, you know, Asian religions and many Middle Eastern religions that they tell you, if you do this, you will be a better person. But in reality, the Bible explains peace in a different way. Peace, according to the scripture, is something that the Holy Spirit will give you. It's not something that you can produce, number one. It's not like a state of mind that you will accomplish after you train your mind. No, no, no. Peace is something that is coming from an outsourced way. And according to the Bible, it's from God. Please open your Bibles really quick and let's read 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Because I think that will explain in part what I'm trying to explain to you. This is what Paul is saying during the final blessing in this letter to the church in Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. So who is the one who gives you peace? God. Like I was mentioning, it's not something that you produce in your heart. It is something that God is giving you as a gift. When you read in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5 is a chapter that is explaining the result of the works of the flesh and the works of the Holy Spirit. Have you read that before? And when you are reading about the works of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace, love, gentleness. So for a Christian, this source of peace is God. It's from outside. It's not from inside. So the next time that you get stressed out, that you get aggravated, that you get irritated, remember, God can give you what? Peace. Peace doesn't mean that you will be free of problems. Peace doesn't mean that you should ignore the situations that they are happening in your house. The peace that God is explaining, is giving us here, is the result of the companion of Jesus Christ living in your heart. It's the joy of salvation. It's the ability to be able to rest every single night without worrying for things. It is interesting to know how many people here in America, they need to take aids to sleep every night. Some are connected with medical conditions, but a lot of these situations are just mental issues. Worries that we have, problems that we continue thinking and rehearsing in our minds. It is amazing when you get to your bed, put your head, and go to sleep right away, right? And we feel envious in occasions when people do that to you, right? Like, you see, Denise, I'm not the only one thinking about that. But I admire that you get to your bed, you rest in peace, and leave everything in God's hands, that he is taking care of your problems. Amen? So this is what Paul is saying here in Philippians. If you can, you know, stop being anxious, stop being worried, And in reality, when we deal with problems, you know, any kind of problem daily, we have several options, right? Number one, trying to tackle the problem and fix the problem. That's what men do. You know, we always think in problems and in basis of how to solve the problem. But some problems don't have solutions, right? So what you do when the problem doesn't have a solution? What you can do? Nothing, right? Just give it up. Give it to God. I hear the other day somebody mentioned here at church that this person was having a problem, and this person started praying to God, help me with this problem. But after this person finished praying, continue getting stressed out and worrying about the problem. Have you ever do that? Lord, help me with this situation. I'm really anxious. I'm really stressed out. And you finish praying and you should be in peace, right? At ease. But then you continue worrying about the problem. So that's the part that we need to do, transcends that moment, right? If you are really giving your problem to God, just let it go. There's nothing that you can do about it. There's no solution for this problem. Only God can help you somehow. So you have one of these problems that you can help. Hey, worrying, it won't help anything. If you can solve, you don't need to worry. You will solve it, right? So these two elements, inner peace, right, as a result of having this Holy Spirit living in your lives, and peace with other people, not only at church, but at work in different places. Finally, the last section that I want to mention here is found in verse 7. I like this verse here too. This is what Paul is mentioning to the members of the church. And the peace of God, which surpasses the understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, Paul is presenting to the members of the church that the true peace is a gift from God. That's what at the beginning of the sermon I was telling you, that I always associate Christmas with peace. Today, we have more wars and conflicts than ever. It's always people dying. It's always people in trouble. It's always something. If you watch the news, then you understand what I'm trying to say. It's unrest. It's people fighting for different reasons. Just and unjust causes many, many problems. What you can do as a Christian? Can we resolve all the problems in this world? No. The answer is no. What we can do is finally have some faith in God and allow Him to continue working in our lives, right? So when Paul today, I will like you to consider this season. I know you will have to do something for your family, but probably you will prepare a meal and you will prepare something for the kids, so whatever you decide to do, that is important that you keep some peace and enjoy these things. It's not worth it, you know, to get all stressed out and aggravated and anxious for these activities, because eventually all this also will pass. I was thinking about this situation as a result of seeing so many problems, you know, in our society today. Problems with social issues, problems with economy, problems inside the church, problems outside the church. If we focus too much on the problems, then we can have this negative and very pessimistic view of the life. I don't want to live like that. How about you? You just want to be able to enjoy, you know, life, continue living. So may God continue giving you peace and blessing in your hearts. Amen.